Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Lilu Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas and Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHosham, Meher Nesham, Heaven Aliyah, in the merit of our Torah. So it's a particularly opportune time. It's always an opportune time to learn. But one of the reasons that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, I could find it right now offhand, the exact source. I don't know if I can, I don't want to take the time, but Chazal say that we were not Osek in Torah Lishma. That we didn't have kavana, we didn't appreciate Torah, which is one of the reasons why some people dafka make a siyum during the 9 days, to be misakin, the failing of not learning Torah Lishma, not loving Torah, not having kavana. When they said la'asuk, we did face Torah. It's very appropriate that even though it's raining, Baruch Hashem, you came and made the hishtablis to come join us and to show that we really do love learning and we're misakin the failings of that time period when they did not appreciate enough, whatever that exactly means, the Zchus of Torah. So we're on page 184, but what I like to do is always go back one paragraph, since it was a week ago, and I always find that when we go back, I always end up adding something that I didn't have said the first time. So what page are we on? 183, please, okay? We're really on the top of page 184, but I want to go to the bottom of page 183. Right, please. So, how do we arouse the Ratzon? So one thing we spoke about last time was the Korban Tamid. Latzach HaTamid is one of the five things that befell our forefathers on Shivas Arba Tamas. And we spoke about on a very homiletic level that where is our Ratzon? Was it battle at the time of Korban Beis HaMikdash to serve the Ribono Shel Olam? So how do we arouse the Ratzon, the desire to serve God? Bottom of page 183. There's a method mentioned in the Zohar. The Zohar likens the body to a dying ember, but the soul to a fire. So even when the body dies out, like into an ember, the soul is always on fire. If the body does not burn brightly with the light of the soul, so if my body is not burning bright, it must be struck. Why? In order to arouse the light of the soul. So both body and soul may shine together. So before you turn the page, when I was rereading in re-preparation of Shir, something came to mind that I heard in a Shir on Friday. Arav Shabbos, I listened to a Shir on Yom Torah by Rabbi Suriel Militsky from Highland Park, New Jersey. Very interesting Shir with a lot to learn. But I'm going to quote one Pachad Yitzchak that he quoted, which relates to this idea. When I reread this, it reminded me of the pasuk ner mitzvah v'torah or. We all know that pasuk ner is a mitzvah. A mitzvah is compared to a candle v'torah or, and the Torah is compared to light. So what's the difference between a candle and light? How do we usually interpret that? Ner mitzvah v'torah or. If I lit a candle in this room, how much is it going to help us in terms of seeing? Not very much. Why? It's already lit up. So ner mitzvah, a mitzvah gives a narrow degree of light, but Torah lights up our whole world and our whole life. We just began by saying that learning Torah during this time period is a rectification for the failing during Chorban Bayis Sheni when the people were not osek in divrei Torah lishma. Okay, so ner mitzvah, you understand? If it's pitch black in here and I turn on a candle, then we're going to be very happy. I have a candle. But if it's full of light, then one candle doesn't add so much. The Torah is or. The Torah fills the whole world with or. So Rabbi Militsky quoted a beautiful Pachad Yitzchak. The sources were online, so I was able to download the sources. They were uploaded with the shir. Very interesting Pachad Yitzchak. The whole shir was on making siyumim during the 9 days. The shir was called, it's the 9 days, is anyone making a siyum? Okay, that's its own topic in and of itself. I'm not delving into that in tonight's shir. But one of the things that Rabbi Militsky noted is that they used to, at a siyum for a masechta, they used to make the same bracha that we make by Shavu Brachas, by Mizumin for Shavu Brachas, Baruch Elokeinu Shal Simcha Bim Ono. Does anybody know what Shal Simcha Bim Ono means? What does it mean? We ate from... Hello? Does anyone say anything? I just don't hear. You're not answering something. We ate from what is his. And through his goodness we live. What is Shasimcha Bim Ono?
In the right time?
So it's related to time, but it actually means abode, as in Kapitel Tzadik. Hashem Tvila Lamosha Ish Halokim Hashem Ma'on Ataha Yisalanu. God is an abode for us. Okay. Very interesting. So they used to, at Siyum Masachtos, say Shal Simcha Bimono. tragedy started to happen. If you want to remember the exact story, you could go online and listen to Rabbi Militsky's shir. And they thought, why is this happening? So one of the sources uploaded in his source packet was Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kutner Zatzal, says something so interesting. Ready? Does everyone know what we're talking about? Ker ner mitzvah v'torah or. Torah is light. So now we have a question. Why did they say this? Why did I think about this? Because when I was re-preparing with Rabbi Militsky's shir, in my mind, when I read this paragraph that talks about an ember and the light, the soul has to be on fire, the body has to be on fire, reminded me, she Torah or. How do you make yourself on fire if you're not on fire? What should you do? Immerse yourself in Torah. Be misak in the failings at the time of Bayesheni. The people were not osek in Torah lishma. So we should be osek in Torah lishma, which Baruch Hashem, despite the weather, here we are to be osek in Torah, to improve ourselves. So the Pachad Yitzchak writes so interestingly about this idea of amiras shasimcha bimono b'shasi mesachta. So what did we already say? What does shasimcha bimono mean? The simcha is in his
abode,
in his dwelling place. Am I saying it right? Abode?
Yeah.
Okay. Nira lefi, okay, it appears to be that we can explain according to what Chazal say, Masechta Sota Daf Chaf Aleph. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Okay, so if we're okay, ner mitzvah, we already explained that I put a ner in here, it's not going to help me so much, because why? I already have the or of Torah. V'torah or. Tala ha-kasuv es ha-mitzvah b'ner. The kasuv says that the mitzvah is like a candle, v'es ha-torah b'or, but the Torah is light. Interestingly, the Zohar tells us, Histaka be'orais over alma, you all know that. The Ribbono Shel Olam looked in the Torah and created the world. What's the first thing Hashem created when he looked in the Torah and created the world? So the first thing he did is he looked in the Torah. And after he looked in the Torah, what did he create? Or a natural consequence, if you will, of looking in Torah is the creation of light. It was almost by default, Chas v'Shalom, Hashem does anything by default, but it was almost by default that of course light would be created first. Why? Because if you look in the Torah, what's going to be overflowing? Torah or. Lomar lecha. Ma ner. Pachad Yitzchak says something. What's another difference between ner, candle, and light? Not this kind of artificial light where the light bulbs burn out, but a natural light. A candle's going to burn out. I said not like artificial light where your light bulb's going to go, okay? What's going to happen to a candle, even if it's a long burning one? So I could buy one for a 3-day yontif. It's still going to burn out. But your light, yes, the sun rises and the sun sets, but light is always going to be there. Lomar lecha, ma ner meir lefi sha'a. A ner gives light lefi sha'a. How do you translate that? For an hour. In other words, for a limited time. For example, that's an example of that. We're coming up to the Yamim Noraim. So you could take a shofar today and blow shofar. You can have a mitzvah? Why not? I blew shofar. Tkiya, tshuva, shvarim, tkiya, tshuva, tkiya. Why not? It's not in the right time. A mitzvah is time-bound, just like a ner is time-bound. Ma ner me'ir lefisha, af mitzvah kain. A mitzvah is time-bound, meaning there's a certain time to take Arba Minim. If I take Arba Minim today, I don't have a mitzvah. Why not? If I like Hanukkah lich today, I don't have a mitzvah. Why not? Because it's lefisha'a. So a ner is lefisha'a, and a mitzvah is lefisha'a. Uma or meir le'olam, but or is forever, af Torah kein. So too Torah lights up our world forever. Now, it's unbelievable. I just finished reading the biography of Rav Yossel Friedenzahn, Faith Amid the Flames. It's new by art school. It was just fantastic. It's very appropriate reading now for the 9 days and Tisha B'Av, if anyone's looking for anything to read on a Sunday. It's very inspiring. But one of the most inspiring messages that he tried to, that he successfully gave over in the post-Holocaust years and his help with Agoda and rebuilding Jewry after the Holocaust and editor of Dossier Shvart is he always gave her the message, not so much focusing on the Churban, but focusing more on the eternity of Knesset Yisrael. That look what we have, did everyone see it's going around? I saw from a bunch of people. Sivan Rachav Meir, what she posted about her grandmother, did anyone see? Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm going to post it on the Michal Shari Shir if you didn't see. It's just incredible. Her grandmother's a survivor of the Holocaust, and she saw her mother being pointed to death by Mengele in front of her eyes. After the Holocaust, her grandmother married her grandfather, who lost his wife and his family, child or children, during the Holocaust. They remarried, they made Aliyah, they lived in Haifa, and the grandmother turned 104. She had one request, that all of her tzatza'eha, her progeny, her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, if there's great-great-grandchildren, she's 104, should gather at the Kotel.
I think
For a picture.
Yeah, I have pictures.
Yes, they should gather at the Kotel for a picture. So this is one of the things that Rav Yossel Frieden really tried to perpetuate after the Holocaust, not focusing so much on the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. So much of our focus in Holocaust education is on the Churban, what they did, but rather on Netzach Yisrael, Yishkar, it's one of the last things his father said to him. It's from Sefer Shmuel, I believe, Perek Tezvav, that Israel will always be here. Torah, or the or of Torah is absolutely eternal. He says to look in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Who's Nefesh HaChaim? Rav Chaim of Elazhin. I thought you were leaving me. You just got here. So who's the Nefesh HaChaim? Rav Chaim of Elazhin. So he says, look in the Sefer Rav Chaim of Elazhin, that he uses this idea, this savra, to apply to certain halachos. For example, there's a halacha that a zakein, shashachach talmudo, a zakein who forgets his learning, adayin tsarich lihizahir bekavod Torah. So you still have to show him kavod Torah. Why? Because he encapsulates or represents Torah. Torah is eternal. It's not a mitzvah sha'a. If I light Shabbos candles tonight, did I get a mitzvah of halachos neiros? Pun intended, with the near mitzvah. No, why not? Because it's Wednesday evening. I can do whatever I want with Shabbos and Shofar and Arba Mirim and Chanukah. I still don't have a mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah of this Wednesday night, in the middle of, beginning of Av, I should say. So the Nefesh HaChaim uses this principle, near mitzvah v'Torah or, where a near is for Sha'ah, and Torah or is eternal, to say that a Talmud Chacham, what's Allah? A Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning, you still have to show him Kavod Torah. Why? Because he was a Talmud Chacham. And what does he represent? Torah. Is Torah limited? Is it time bound? That's why it's interesting you said time, even though it means abode, it's related very much to time bound, which is going to help us understand why when they said Shasimcha Bimono at Siyum Masechtas, it didn't work well. Why? Because if it's something to do with time bound, can you say when you come to Torah learning Shasimcha Bimono that the Simcha is time bound?
It's not.
Torah is eternal. Torah is not time bound. What do we say when we make a Siyum? Hadron Alacha. What are we going to do? Hadron Alacha. We're going to return to you. I'm never finished. The Torah is eternal. It's not time bound. Okay. Dahainu mishum Torah or. That's why you have to honor Talmud Chacham, even if he forgets his learning. Umeir la'olam. The Torah light is forever and always. Okay. Oh, this is very interesting. This helps us understand. This was just the beginning of a shir. It wasn't even focus of the shir, and I was happy that the sources are there so I could read it inside. It's very, very interesting. This helps us understand why tashmishay mitzvah go in the garbage, but tashmishay kedusha go into geniza shemis. If you have tzitzis, you can ask your own shayla, but I've asked, if you have tzitzis that are no longer kosher, okay, so you could put them in Shemus, but you could also, some opinion say, put them in a bag and put them in the garbage. Why? Although Rabbi Dinowitz says the strings, which are actually the tzitzis, should go in the Shemus. Okay, that's not such a good example. Lulav. Why could it go in the garbage after? If you wrap it up, you put it in the garbage, because it's not what? It's that serves no purpose anymore. After the mitzvah, it doesn't have a purpose of a mitzvah anymore. When you come to Kislev, what's your lulav? Yes, some Hasidim save it and they burn it with the chametz or Pesach, but it doesn't have the tashmishay mitzvah after the mitzvah. But tashmishay Torah, it's eternal. It doesn't, never gets dried up. It's never used up. It's not time bound. That page in your chumash is eternal. May olam ulu ome olamim. Do you understand? Isn't that interesting? Okay. Behind mishum de mitzvah eino ela ner. Mitzvah is a ner. Time bound. The ner is eventually going to go out. Just like the mitzvah has a time frame. The ner meir l'sha'a. A candle burns for a certain amount of time. Aval tashmishay kedusha nignazin mishum de Torah or meir l'olam. That's it, for Torah is never going out. You know, when I was in the, what's it called? The Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles. What's it called? The Museum of Tolerance. You've been? So, you know, the Nazis wanted to, I just mentioned Rav Yossel Frieden, it's an appropriate time during 9 days to remember all of this. What did the Nazis want to do? They were going to have a museum of the extinct race. They saved certain talasim, it's stamped, Waffen SS, you can see the stamp. They were going to start a museum, I think it was in Hungary. Does anyone remember? I think in Hungary they were going to have a museum called the Museum of the Extinct Race. What was going to be in there? Sefer Torah. I was going to be in there, talisim, menorah, and they started to collect, and you could see that the talisim are stamped often SS. They have a drum covered in the words of Sefer Torah. They have shoe soles the Nazis made from Sefer Torah. It's you could read it. There are some words missing because it's made into shoes. So they thought they would trample upon the Torah with their feet. They thought they would beat the Torah on a drum. They thought they would have a museum of the extinct race. Torahs are. There's no such thing. It's never going to be extinct. Just like Klal Yisrael will never be extinct. And I realize this year that's one of the tremendous messages of Tisha B'Av, El Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's a beautiful message of hope. Rav Soloveitchik says that Tisha B'Av is a day of unlimited despair and boundless hope and faith. How could you say Tisha B'Av is a day of hope and faith? What's hope and faith? It's not normal that we should still be here 1950 years later, mourning Churban Beis HaMikdash, with every enemy that has come to destroy us. What's the secret of our survival? Torah R. Torah is limited. It has a time when it's relevant. Shem Shem Pinka says, if you sit in the sukkah and you learn Maseches Pesachim, is somebody going to say to you, what are you doing? Why are you learning Pesachim? Yes or no? Of course they're not going to say that. Why not? Because it's eternal. If you sit in the sukkah and you think you're doing Achilas Matzah, so people might think you're crazy. You have the wrong Tashmishei Mitzvah. But if you sit with the Maseches Pesachim, because that's where you and your Chavrus are up to, is anyone going to say to you, it's sukkahs, why are you learning that? Why not? This is the secret of our survival. Rabbi Yossel Friedenzahn, he tells over a number of places in the book, one of the things that stands out the most in his mind from the Holocaust is when the Nazis, was in the early days of the war, and the Nazis came into the apartment where he was living with his parents. His father was away. And the Nazis, his mother had prepared some money so that if it ever happened, she would try and bribe the Nazis and they would leave. Two SS officers, Yimach Shmam, came in and they took the money, and as they were about to leave, they noticed the Sfarim shrank. His father was a big Talmid Chacham who worked with Sar Shneer. Gershon Eliezer Friedenzahn, I believe his name was, Hashem Yukom Damo, who worked with Sar Shneer, and he worked for the Gora before the Holocaust, and they noticed the set of Gemaras. And they stopped, and they said to him, what are these? And he said, the Talmud, in his innocence, he said, Talmud. And he said they went completely crazy. They became totally enraged. They pulled the Talmud off the shelf, and it was a beautiful Vilna set, and it was hard to rip. They threw them out the window. They stomped on every single volume, and they made him help with the destruction. He said it was one of the most painful parts of the war for him, and he was in 6 concentration camps, that they made him rip the Talmud, that they made him rip the Gemara. And yet, they were totally unsuccessful. Go look at the picture of Sivan Rechav Meir's grandmother, who turned 104, was a survivor of the Holocaust. And what does she want for her birthday? That all of her tzatza'el should gather at the Kosel Maravi. Tisha B'Av, says Rav Soloveitchik, is a day of unlimited despair and boundless hope and faith. So going back to the Pachad Yitzchak, does everyone know what we're talking about tonight? Besides the people who just came in, I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but people are sitting here. Do you have questions or it's clear? Ner mitzvah means ner is limited, even if it's a 7-day candle or a 3-day candle or a 4-hour candle. What's going to happen? It's going to burn out. Torah or, we're saying that Torah is, has it burned out every time they tried to destroy us? What happened? Apparently they were not successful. But Friesen tells over that at one point, many years after the Holocaust, he was in a certain shul, and it was Yom Tov, and it was time for Yisker, and they apologized to him that there was not a minyan for Yisker. And he said, you're apologizing to me that there was a minyan for Yisker? He says, when we were liberated from the camps, and we were in the DP camps, those Yomim Tovim, he says, there was not one person who walked out for Yisker. He says, and now I'm Zocha to stand in a shul, and there's not even a minyan for Yisker. This is my greatest joy. Why? Because Torah are. Because Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. What did his father say to him? Ki heim chaye olam nata bisochenu. So a mitzvah is limited. It's wonderful. It brings us olam haba. We have to be osik in the mitzvahs just like we're osik in Torah. But we have to understand what gives us the chiyus is Torah. So why can't you say shasimcha b'mono at a shaver brachas? You can. Why? Because it is. Well, the marriage shouldn't be limited, but what's limited? The Shavuot Brachos is limited. How long does Shavuot Brachos last for? 7 days. It's time-bound. The marriage-wise, the Shem will be forever, but you could say Shasimcha B'mono at a Shavuot Brachos because it is a time-bound mitzvah. But how could you come to a Siyum Masechta, which is a celebration of Torah, and say this is limited? Is it limited or is it not limited? It's not limited. You see a Talmid Chacham, right, so Chaim of Elazhen, who has lost his learning. You have to show him Kavod Torah because he represents the eternity of Torah. But Bim'ono doesn't mean time. Bim'ono means
abode.
Get ready. So wait, now, does everyone here understand what we're talking about? Even if you came in after. You're welcome at all times, pun intended. Get it? All times? But I want to make sure you understand. Okay. V'iyun od. So the Pachad Yitzchak writes, check out, look into Chagiga, Maseches Chagiga, Yud Beis Amud Beis. I did not look in Maseches Chagiga, Yud Beis Amud Beis. I'm quoting from the Pachad Yitzchak. The Gemara says there, Deshiva Riki Im Heim. What does the Gemara say? There are seven heavens. Okay. V'achad Mehem Hu Me'on. One of the levels of heavens is called Me'on. Abode, God's abode. Umifare sham b'gemara. The Gemara teaches. What do they do in Ma'on? De Ma'on hainu lashon midor. Ma'on means a place where somebody dor, somebody
lives
or dwells or an abode. Makom shemelachim darimbo. What's the level of Ma'on? There are seven rikia shemayim. In the level of Ma'on, who lives there? I just said it. The angels, thank you. Mishum debok tisos shamalachai. There are groups, there are ktitos, like kita. There are groups, there are classes, there are schools of malachai shars. Sha'omer shira balaila. What do they do in the level of Ma'on? When do they sing shira? Balaila. V'chashus b'yom. They're quiet, like from chash. They're quiet during the day. Why are they quiet during the day? Mipnei kvod anshel Yisrael. What does that mean? Who's with me? You're all with me, I hope. Mipnei kvod anshel Yisrael. Because of covenant of Israel. Maybe because, what do we do during the day? We sing Shira Tashem during the day. I make a bracha. I say Kriya Shema. I say Mizmar Lasoda. We went to visit a Holocaust. I mentioned him last week, right? The Holocaust survivor who we went to visit with my boys. We have not been able to go back just time-wise. His schedule and my boy's schedule hasn't worked out yet. But he had two very old Sifrei Tehillim, like falling apart. Like they were bound together with a rubber band. And he said they were his father's. If you recall, I said that his father survived the war. Why? Because he was taken away for slave labor before they were deported to Auschwitz. His father survived the war and they were reunited after the war. And these Sifrei Tehillim belong to his father. They're mamish, held together by rubber bands. And he says Tehillim from them every day. So I asked if I could open one. And I opened one. And the inside where it opened to, there's a picture of him with his father and his two children. And it was open to Mizmor Lasoda. And now when I say Mizmor Lasoda, after Baruch Shem Rabbi Yikavod and Ashrei, I have this in mind. Ariyu Lashem Kol Haaretz. Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha. He said, I have no complaints. There's a survivor whose brother was killed, whose mother was killed, whose grandfather was killed, whose town was annihilated. They arrived in Auschwitz, they send them straight to the gas chambers. And he has this tale that he says every day, the picture of his father open to Mizmor Lasoda. De Ma'on hainu lashon midor. Ma'on is an abode where you live. Makom shemalachim darimbo. My angels live in Ma'on. Mishum debo kitot shemalachai hasharis. There are classes, there are groups, there are schools of malachai hasharis. Shomer shira balayla. They only say shira during the night. V'chashu b'yom. They're quiet during the day. Why? Mipnei kvod anshel Yisrael. I can't read this word. Can you read this word? I don't know if it's a samich. I don't know what that is.
Shemiklasim.
Is it a mem or a samich?
Shemiklasim. You don't have a mem in the middle of a word.
Well, it could be like this kind of mem. I'm saying, not a mem sofis.
Yeah, I think
it's a samach. Okay. Shemiklasim bayom. I don't know what that means. Yes.
Say it again. What word?
Pardon?
What's the word again?
Shemiklasim.
Mem kof lamed samach yod mem.
I have Google Translate on my phone, but I'm not going off my recorder.
I mean, like,
that's what I was also thinking. That's what I was also thinking. I think the angels, up until now we understand, the angels are quiet during the day because of Kavod Yisrael, because Israel is Mekasim B'yom. Perhaps it means, I can't say for sure, Shani cannot say for sure, but maybe it means, I think, I understand to me that Israel sings Shirat Hashem during the day. So the angels in them own are silent during the day of Kavod for Israel because we sing to Hashem during the day. Ume Ata. Does anyone have questions? Ume ato with an ayin, and from now, mikaven shasimcha birakia zosha shemol ma'on nifsekes hi bayom, because the simcha in shamayim, or in the level called ma'on, stops when? Every day. When Nates comes and the Jews get up, the first few days we were in Eretz Yisrael, my husband went to daven Nates by the Kosel. So every day the Jews got up by Nates with the Os HaShachar, and we start singing Shir. So what happens in Ma'on? They got quiet. Now they're quiet. Mi'ata, from now. Oh, you're so beautiful. Mi'kevan shahasimcha berakia zushashmo ma'on nifsakasi bayam. There is simcha in the rakia of ma'on, in the abode of God, but it stops during the day. Shafir yitachein lomar. Perhaps it's possible to say shahasimcha b'mono b'simcha shal mitzvah. So simcha b'mono is time bound, just like simcha b'mitzvah is time bound, just like ner is time bound. Mipnesha the gabi simcha shal mitzvah. Because when it comes to simcha shal mitzvah, remember we said it's time bound. Remember all the examples we gave? Shofar, it's a tremendous mitzvah on Aleph Tishrei, on Beis Tishrei. But today it means nothing. Arba minim, it's a beautiful mitzvah when you come up to Sukkot. Today it is nothing. So how could you come to, what does simcha bimono mean? There's simcha bimono. What's bimono? The level of the Sheva Rakia, where who lives? Malachim. And what do these malachim in Ma'on do? Kito cha malachim, sha'omrim shira. Balayla, but by olos ha-shachar, what do those malachim do? They're quiet because of Kavod Yisrael. So Ma'on is time bound. So it's very interesting you said time bound, because it doesn't mean time bound, but it's related to a time bound principle. So how could you come to Asiyam Masechla? This is really related to the 9 days. My son is actually at Asiyam tonight. My whole parsha shir is on, can you make Siyumim in the 9 days? It's not so pasha at all. My parsha shir this week is a very halachic shir. It's not so pasha that you can make Siyumim. So my son told me he's going to Asiyam tonight. I said, okay, I'm teaching this the whole week. You need to ask a shayla. It's not so clear if you could go. I said, you have to call Rabbi Stefanski, ask if you go. He's allowed to go. Fine. So many people make siyumim during these days. Chassidim, by the way, I will tell you, dafka makes siyumim during these days. Did I say this in the beginning of Shir? Chassidim dafka makes siyumim during the 9 days. Why? To show two things. One, remember we started Shir by saying churban beis hamikdash was because we were not osek b'divrei Torah with simcha. So what do they want to show? We love Torah. They dafka make siyumim now. Number one, to counteract not being excited by Torah. And number two, they dafka invite people to show we're counteracting the what? Sinas chinim that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, chassidim misaprim. If you're not chassidim, I'm not giving my whole hour-long parsha here, but it's not so pasha that you could just jump on the bandwagon and go to see him. You should be aware of that. That's less than al raga achas. But chassidim dafka do it, because they want to show, A, we love Torah, B, misak in the sin of Churban Beis HaMikdash, and B, we love people, so invite as many Jews as you know. Counteract what Kamsa gets in 55 to 56. Forget what the host did to Bar Kamsa and he threw him out. We want everybody at our party. It's a beautiful mouth. That's what Levi Yitzchak Berditchev would think. Berditchev would say, look how many Jews there are. Look how wonderful Ahavas Yisrael. So let's go back to the Pachad Yitzchak. Shasimcha b'mono b'simcha shal mitzvah. Mipnei shal gabi simcha shal mitzvah. Because when it comes to simcha shal mitzvah, amirinan dilo adifa hasimcha migufa shal mitzvah. Amirinan, we say, dilo adifa. Adif is preferred. I don't understand that exact sentence, but the mitzvah itself is a ner. How is it a ner? It's lefi sha'ah. It is a time-bound mitzvah of alagabi simcha satorah. But when it comes to simcha of Torah, like making a siyum, kol sug shal simcha, shetchunaso eino bevchinas ar meir le'olam pagam hula. What did he just say? I understand the sentence. Any idea or any insinuation when it comes to simcha satorah, that this is not in the bechina of ar, is a defect. In other words, it's hard sentence to translate. Kol sug shel simcha, I'll say it in the Lashon HaKodesh. Kol sug shel simcha, shetchunaso eino bevchinas or meir le'olam pagam hulo. If you talk about a simcha shel Torah, and you want to insinuate that it is somehow time-bound, that it is related to the ma'on, which goes in, I guess, 12-hour cycles or whenever the night and day are, it's a defect. You can't say about a simcha shel Torah that it's time-bound. Is that clear? Vizahu hikpida keneged amira shel simcha b'mono b'sha'as siyum masechas. This is why we're makpid not to say, thank you, not to say, does everyone else know the answer, you just didn't say it, or you don't know what I'm talking about?
Give me no.
Okay. Therefore, we have to be makbir when we come to asiyim of a mesachtas Torah. How could you say shasimcha b'mono? That the simcha is only in the abode. That means it's from time to time. That means sometimes we're involved in Torah, but 12 hours we'll have Torah and 12 hours we'll be quiet. No, chas v'shalom. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph Amar Av, there will be asked 6 questions when we get up to the Olam Emes. Asakta Bepiria Urivya, 1 question will be asked. Nasasa Vinasakta Be'amuna, were you honest and faithful in your business dealings? And one of the questions that men will be asked is, did you set aside, were you Kovei Itim the Torah? So what does Kovei Itim mean? I set aside a time for learning, but the Torah is to become part of my life at every moment. It doesn't go on and off. When I go to bed, there's no Torah. There's a lachas, Kriya Shema. I was just reading of Chaim Kanievsky, actually, on the 3 weeks, about how he says, Kriya Shema al Hamita on Leil Tisha B'Av. So Torah is forever, and Torah is always. It doesn't go by an alarm clock. Now I'm a Torah Jew, now I'm not a Torah Jew. Chas v'shalom, it's not limited to Bima'ono. Wow. Therefore, saying at a Simchas Torah, that it is mitava zush al simcha b'mono, that saying that the nature of a simchas ha-Torah is simcha b'mono, havei mi'ut b'kvoda. What does that mean? It is a diminishment of the kavod shel Torah chalila. It will be a diminishment of the kavod of Torah to come to a siyum of Torah and say, this is simcha b'mono. Wow. Okay, questions or comments? Mosi, did you understand? You got here late. Okay, fine. Do you have a question I can answer quickly? Or you need the whole thing?
I'll listen and I'll let you know.
What?
I'll listen later.
He'll listen. He'll catch up online. Okay. Does anyone else, was anything not clear? Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi Abedvaro.
Amen.
Amazing. Namish amazing. Okay. So, page 183. Well, the reason I brought you that is because we just read about an ember and a soul and a fire. When I read about ember and soul and fire, preparing this shir with Rabbi Militsky's shir and mine and this Pachad Yitzchak, that's what it reminded me of. Having said that, let's go to the top of page 184, which is really where we're up to. Okay, let me just tell you something before we go inside. Remember last week I said I don't want to start this. And I asked Rav Shai Shechter, if you recall, a number of weeks ago, I said I felt I needed a little bit of Das Torah in our approach to the Sefer. Gehenim, 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 so I called him. He said, you don't have to read every word on every page. We are reading every word on every page, because I don't think that we can get to the end and make our Siyam if we skipped. I won't feel intellectually honest. But let's be careful with this page, okay? We are not going to take this advice. The Zohar is teaching us, so I'm just going to try and read through, okay? Because I don't want to skip, but I don't want to dwell. That the way to awaken the ratzon of the soul is through the suffering that one inflicts on oneself. Okay, we're ready to skip the page. I don't want to, but keep in mind my introduction to this page. However, not everyone is capable of this, inflicting suffering on yourself. And in our generation, especially, most people are not cut out for such rugged measures. Okay, we naturally love and prefer the more pleasant aspects of Avodas Hashem. Therefore, we will not attempt to deal with methods of self-affliction and self-deprivation at length, Baruch Hashem, but rather mention them briefly. Fasting has always been used to loosen the grip of the body on the soul. The truth is that our body has a strong grip on our soul. It's true. The reason we don't eat on Yom Kippur, is not because we're in mourning, like on Tisha B'Av, Adaraba. We're on the highest level of angels. We totally remove ourselves from the affliction of the body. We want our neshama to be totally like Tangba Malachim, not in the Ma'on level, but totally like Malachim, where we are totally Gashmius beings. So it's true that fasting is a tool used to loosen the grip of the body on the soul. In addition to this, rare individuals would roll naked in the snow or break the ice to immerse in the ice-cold waters of a lake or pond. Still others practice a strong form of self-criticism. In fact, that one's interesting, by the way, because sometimes I find with myself, I'm being honest, that I'm self-critical to a not positive way. Okay? In fact, the word tzaddikim, now, by the way, a person should be self-critical enough to be self-aware to change themselves, but not to the point where you tell yourself that what you're doing is so bad, this, that, etc. Use your imagination. In fact, the word tzaddikim, we used to seclude themselves in a forest, criticize themselves. How lowly am I that I do not really want to be close to Hashem? And this way they would speak themselves to Hashem alone from the death of their heart. So you could see why I don't want to dwell on this. Nobody here is going through process of self-affliction. It's not healthy. It's not normal for us. It's not something we should ascribe to. We're not looking for self-harm, bad. But this is two dangers. You might criticize yourself from your mind without real feeling, and in addition, one who has worked on himself and developed in all areas of personality is better, able to feel bitter for a while and then switch to joy. Okay? This is not true if people have not developed themselves sufficiently. You can fall into constant bitterness. It will damage your avoda because without joy there's nothing. That's absolutely true. If you tell yourself you're not good and you did this bad and you did this bad and you did that bad, so Hashem, you say, gives up on you. He doesn't want to hear from you. You have nothing to contribute. I'm going to start doing stop doing Torah mitzvah. So this is not for us. Therefore, one should only practice self-affliction if he feels he can be bitter for a time and then serve Hashem with pleasure and joy. Listen, we're coming up to Elul. We're not so far. We do need to be self-critical and we do need to be self-aware. I can't always paint myself as a bouquet of roses that smells perfect and is gorgeously pink. I do have to know that there are thorns, that I do have, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the opposite of maidos? Chisronos, thank you. I do have chisronos. Many. I have aveiros. I have needs for tikkun amidos, but if I make myself to the point of self-suffering and self-inflicted pain, clearly we're not going to be in a good place. One should not practice this method if by criticizing himself and placing severe demands on himself, he'll become depressed, yeush, despair, lethargic. If this method threatens to bring someone to such a state, he may not attempt it. Okay, so no one here is going to self-deprive and self-afflict themselves. Okay, but I will tell you very, very interesting. Soloveitchik speaks about this. Okay, how's everyone doing? Soloveitchik speaks about this. Kapara by substitution. What was Yosef's intention when he arrested his brothers? Remember Yosef going back to Bereshis? After debating whether they're spies, they're not spies, he finds them guilty. He arrested them then by Yiba Yom HaShlishi. He lets them out. Who does he keep, by the way, only? Who remembers? Shimon. Okay. Tshuvas HaMishkal. Mishkal is like what? Like weight. One must suffer to get kapara. I'm quoting from Soloveitchik. I believe the answer lies in a very important yesod in teshuvah, which Yahadus is trying to incorporate. Yesod ha-teshuvah of Yahadus. Basically, in the opinion of the Chasidei Ashkenaz, a chote cannot get kapara, a sinner is not forgiven for his sin if he does not pay. Now the question is, what do we have to pay? No chote is qualified for kapara if he doesn't pay a debt to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Chasidei Ashkenaz called it tshuvas hamishkal, which literally means weight or scales, repentance of the weight or scales. If you sin, they weigh your sin. How much did it cost? You have to pay back how much it cost. Tshuvas hamishkal means I committed a crime. I want forgiveness. I want absolution. Unless I pay the debt I owe HaKodesh Baruch Hu, I cannot be absolved. The question is, how much do I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the answer is, I'm going to be in a pretty bad place. If I start weighing my averos, I will never be able to pay back. I mean, for me, it's true. I'm going to be in big trouble. By the way, you should know that Miyamai helped me a lot in my personal Vodas Hashem this week. Did anyone else find that? No? Should I give you an example of what I mean? I'm interrupting myself.
Yeah, sure.
It's personal, but okay, I'll go on while you Torah and everyone else could discuss it, but I tell it over to tell you that what we learn, when I say I'm telling to myself, I'm telling to myself. So I try, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it for the purposes of teaching and maybe being mechazik somebody else. Bli neder, Hashem Yazar. I try not to leave my bedroom with my hair uncovered. Everyone does. I'm telling you what I do. Even if I'm like on the upstairs level, I have to go to the kids' room. I don't. I had a bee bite. The Shabbos for us, and this past Shabbos turned into cellulitis. Okay, whatever, whole different story. I even know what I was thinking about when I got the bee bite, and I can't understand why I got the bee bite exactly then, because I don't know how what I was thinking about was an avera. Whatever, fine. for a few nights this week, at 4 o'clock in the morning, nobody's up. I'm up because my leg is really bothering me. It's really in pain. I really can't take it. Baruch Hashem, today's first day. It's mamish better since Friday. Can't sleep. I have to go down to the kitchen to get ice. Who's up at 4 o'clock in the morning? Baruch Hashem in my house, nobody's up. Who's going to see me? I don't even turn on the lights. Why don't I turn on the lights? Because my husband makes fun of me. Early in the morning, I don't want the lights on. Late in the evening, I only want a lamp on. So I go in the dark. There's light that filters into the window. There's a nightlight in the hallway. Nobody could see me. Me am I. So on the one hand, I could say no one's going to see me. Nobody's up. My husband's sleeping. The kids are sleeping. Who's going to see me? The freezer? Put on my robe. So I'm covered. I mean, I'm wearing pajamas, but yes, it's very personal. I'm wearing sleeping pajamas. Then I put on my robe, and then I cover my hair. Why? Who am I doing it for? Remember what we learned last week about me and I? All my days. What was the common thread? How am I ever going to pay back for my virus? But if I try and remain tamir to counteract batal ha-tamir, maybe I won't owe so much. Maybe I won't owe so much. Watch tuvas ha-mishkal. You have to weigh the happiness, the joy which you derive from the Aveira. It feels good to talk Lashon Hara when you're actually speaking the Lashon Hara. You feel cathartic. You feel a release. You feel some sort of perverted rush. But you have to weigh that against the tsar and the pain, the depression, what I cause a Kosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. How am I going to pay back? For instance, if I stole money, I stole a $50 bill. With this $50 bill, I bought a suit. I enjoyed it. And now I'm ready to repent. It's not enough to be chozer b'tshuva, say the chassidei de Ashkenaz. You owe Kosh Baruch Hu $50, but not only $50. What else do you have to pay? Every time you put on the suit, you felt joy, but that suit came from an aveira. So how much do you have to pay back? Every aveira, every chay gives me a certain pleasure, makes me enjoy something. Whatever I get out of the aveira, I owe Kosh Baruch Hu. And the chassidei Ashkenaz say with tshuvat ha-mishkal, there's no forgiveness, no kapara until the debt is repaid. That is why Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz, Rabbi Eliezer HaRokiach, speak of Tshuvas HaMishkal in very radical terms. Ready? So when I prepared this, on the one hand, I said, we're not focusing on this, but on the other hand, I have learned this before. He should submit himself to pain, says the Rokiach. He should take upon himself a way of life that will, quote, excruciate him. Take a mode of living which will be a source of tsa'ar, a source of pain. Only then is there tshuvas ha-mishkal. It's according to the Rishonim, who give us this idea that there is such an idea that I can't pay back Hashem. So what should I do? So if I go through pain, then that self-inflicted pain, that self-inflicted exile, that self-inflicted tsa'ar pays back Hashem for the aver. I don't only owe him $50. I owe every time I got joy of wearing a suit and someone complimented me and said, you look so handsome, you look so beautiful. Did you lose weight? It's so sharp. Is it a new style? Single-breasted, double-breasted, you look wonderful. Every time I got a compliment and I felt good, I have to pay back the Ribbono Shel Olam. How am I going to pay back? So the Rokiach says, Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz says, very radically, pain yourself. Excruciate yourself through that mode of living of tsar and pain. Only is there tshuvas ha-mishkal. So it's not something that's not written about. I'm still not recommending it for us. However, says Osalvichik, most Rishonim do not believe in Tshuvas HaMishkal. Okay? How do Rishonim explain the idea? The Baal Shem Tov fought against it. The Baal HaTanya fought against it. So the Hasidus fought against it very much. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon fought against it. The Chachmei Lita, the Chachmei Poland, they all fought against it. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it. Rav Hanan Wasserman is quoted in the Chafetz Chaim. The Yetzer Hara doesn't mind if a first, listen to this. The Chafetz Chaim quotes Rav Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, the Yetzer Hara does not mind if a person fasts and prays an entire day, as long as he doesn't learn Torah. So in a way, that self-affliction could be a mode of the Yetzer Hara. Beat yourself up, and then you'll be forgiven. The best way to be forgiven is to go and bring our sphere full circle, to be involved in chayei na, chayei sha'a, ba chayei olam. Not just simcha bimono, but just simcha la'olam. Be involved in Torah. So we should know that the Hasidus, the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Tanya, the father of Lubavitch Hasidus, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, Levish, approach, the Chachmei Lita, the Chachmei Poland, they fought against it. Moshe Feinstein. So we should be aware that there is such an approach brought down by the Rishonim. We do not hold like this, we don't pass like this, but it's not so out of the pale. And that hashkafically, we can take a lesson from here. Hashkafically, we can say that we have to realize that, wow, I owe a great debt to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yosef was trying to put them into jail, to torture them, to show them, how can you have teshuva for my sale? For all those years, you had joy of not having me around. You go sit in jail. You have self-affliction. I sat in the pit. You sit in the pit. Otherwise, perhaps, there is no teshuva. Okay, so let's just finish with the last sentence, top of page 185. Whoops. We will try to focus on the opposite approach, Baruch Hashem, and that should be our focus in our Avodas Hashem. A person should devote an hour and daven for one thing, that he will truly want to come closer to Hashem. And really now, when we mourn for Churban Beis Hamikdash, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva. That's really what we're asking for, to come closer to Hashem. Return us to you, the Nashuva, and we will. We'll return. To see Mamash Binyan Bayashili through our Ahavas Torah, an unlimited light of Torah. Thank you very much.